All right, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're here. And we're starting lesson number four today. I did hand some out last week, so it might have lesson three on one side and four on the other. But we're looking at number four, faith. We're going to be talking about faith today. More than likely, we will not finish this, so find a place in your Bible where you can keep that and bring it back next week. But let's start with a word of prayer together. Father, thank you so much for today and the beauty of the day and the sunshine. And thank you for those that are here. We just pray your blessing on our time together in your word. Bless the children downstairs as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, our series is called Developing a Better Relationship with God. And we want to, of course, in our personal lives, have a better relationship with God. We want to really never be satisfied with where we are spiritually, always desiring to get closer to God. What does Peter tell us? Draw near to God and he will draw nigh, you know, near to you, right? So if you think of it as, you know, getting closer to God, what is happening? God is getting closer to you. So he'll never push us away. He'll never say, oh, that's close enough, you know, you've grown enough. Never. He'll never say that. So because we'll never reach, you know, the perfection that he not only demands but desires till we get to heaven. And we have the promise of God's word that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. So we're trusting for that day. But in the meantime, here we are, right? And we have to do things to help us in our faith. Who saves us 100%? Who saves us? God, right? Yeah, the Lord. He saves us 100%. Salvation is a 100% work of God. So what he began, okay? So in the past, when we were saved, the moment we were saved, God did all of that work 100%. All I had to do was believe, right? So he also will complete that work. One day when you and I, rapture morning, resurrection morning, whether we are alive when the Lord comes or whether we have died, we will receive our glorified body 100%. God's work in us, salvation-wise, is completed. But in between those two events, right, is the here and now. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where we live every day. And in this process, who is involved in our sanctification? Spirit. Holy Spirit and us, okay? Because we have to what? Yield. We have to be filled. You know, it's still his working in us. We can't sanctify ourselves. That's not what I mean by us doing, you know, but we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We have to yield. We have to submit. We have to obey. We have to, you know, so it's don't think of it as a series of do's and don'ts, but think of it as a life of change that the Spirit is working on us as we allow him to work on us, okay? So do we have involvement in our daily sanctification? Yes, okay? And again, don't think of it as, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's not that. It's, ooh, I have to let go. I have to let him do this. So it's still him working in us, but it's that that yielding, okay? So faith is very important. What have we looked at so far? We've looked at God's word. We've looked at you know, the importance of God's word. We've looked at the importance of praying. We looked last time at our dealing with sin, right? Making sure that we're clean, making sure that we're confessing, repenting, you know, making sure relationships are right, number one, with God, number two, with each other, okay? But then also in our daily, day-to-day sanctification, in our developing a better relationship with God, faith comes in, okay? Faith is important. Faith, obviously, we need faith when we get saved because we need to believe, okay? That's childlike faith, right? But as time goes on, we continue to need faith. Faith is that trust in God and His Word that we who are saved are to exercise during the course of our daily living. Galatians 2:20, popular verse. But notice, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Everybody that's here, are you? We're familiar with this, you know. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith, okay? Faith. And what is faith? That trust in God and His Word, okay? That's a very simple definition. We'll define it a little bit more. But trust in God and His Word, right? Faith, believe, trust, they kind of go together. Look at 2 Corinthians. Go back one book. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Short, sweet, to the point. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? And what do you think Paul's trying to tell us here? Right. I mean, but, you know, walking by sight. What do we see sometimes?
Trouble.
I mean, what do we see right now in our world, right? Trouble. And without the Lord, it sure could be disturbing, right? But we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, a lot of times people, they talk about blind faith, you know. Is faith blind? No. I mean, you know, by faith, chapter 11, by faith we what? We know the word of God was framed. Abraham saw a city whose builder and maker was God. So it's not blind faith, okay? Do we always know what God is doing, where He's leading? No, it's not blind, but we know He's leading. When Abraham left Ur, right? Some of you are in the Wednesday night Bible course. And when Abraham left Ur, God said, go to a land that I will show you, okay? Now, that's not blind faith. It's total obedience, but he knew God was going to, A, lead him, and he knew God was going to, B, lead him to the place where he wanted him to go, okay? So we might not always know the end, but we have to have faith. That's part of faith, okay? And so there are many things that war against our soul and cause us to be faithless, such as fear, foes, and the flesh, right? A lot of times fear robs us. Fear and faith, you know, they don't dwell together. That doesn't mean that there's never anything to fear, correct? Right? You know, but we don't allow the fear to cripple us. And a lot of times fear cripples us. You ever have a nightmare? And in your nightmare, they say you dream every night. Okay, so I guess I believe them. I don't remember many of my dreams. But a reoccurring, not that it's the same reoccurring dream, but a lot of times I dream and something's going on and I'm screaming and there ain't a word coming out. You know? You know, fear. You know, a lot of times we've seen the old Abbott and Costello movies, right? And Costello gets so scared, he can't say Abbott. He's trying to run, he can't run. But it's a comical illustration, but it's a good illustration of what? Fear cripples us, right? And sometimes foes. I guess a good example of this would be Goliath and the whole army of Israel. Right? Here comes their foe. Big old, you know, just send one man out. We'll fight, and if you win, you know. What did it do to the whole army? Crippled them, right? And then, of course, the flesh. How does the flesh? Well, I don't need you, Lord. I got this one, you know. So these are things that can cause us to be faithless. We must rely upon God and His Word constantly, for without faith we shall fail. Look at Hebrews 4:11. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. Okay, that's the opposite of having faith. Unbelief. Look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Faith Hall of Faith chapter, and verse 6. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay, so how do we please God according to this verse? Faith, by believing him, right? By believing him. And believing, as we're going to see, you know, there's action involved in it, okay? So our reliance upon God and His Word is an essential act of obedience. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, 22, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Okay? This is about the fig tree, right? Jesus wanted some food, fig tree cursed it, you know, and what does, you know, what is essential for our obedience? Having faith in God. So our reliance upon God and His Word is an essential act of obedience, which is an expression of our love for Him. John 14:15 very simply says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Okay? And it's key to our spiritual happiness. How many of you want to be happy? How many of you want to please God? Okay? Faith, right? Look at Psalm 34. A lot of times, you know, I don't know, sometimes we get this impression that Christians aren't supposed to be happy. Man, we should be the happiest people, you know. Psalm 34:8, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him." What does the Hebrew word behind the English word blessed mean? Happy. Okay? Happy. Okay, and look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Okay? So faith is that trust in God and His Word that we who are saved are to exercise during the course of our daily living. There are many things that war against our soul and cause us to be faithless, such as fear, foes in the flesh. We must rely upon God and His Word constantly, for without faith we shall fail. Our reliance upon God and His Word is an essential act of obedience, which is an expression of our love for Him and key to our spiritual happiness. Okay? Before we get into the lesson, any questions, comments, concerns? Clear as mud. Yes, Christy.
Just another F that could be added is failure.
Failure?
Really, yep. Doesn't
sure, it does.
Yep.
Yep. And how many times have we failed? We've all failed sometime or another in our, you know, and that's a good point. That's a good point. That'll preach, sister. And, you know, so, because a lot of times we do fail. Well, what's the use? You know, we've failed for some reason that's not God's fault. So where did we fail? What caused us to fail? Good point. Okay. All right. So let's look at the mechanics of practical faith. What do we mean by practical faith?
Day to day,
right? I mean, shouldn't our faith be practical? Shouldn't our Christianity be practical? Is our Christianity for eternity? Yes, but isn't it also for today? Yeah, right? It's day to day. You know, the moment I got saved was the moment I inherited eternal life. The moment you and I got saved was the moment you and I became sons of God. You too, ladies. There's a reason you're sons of God, not because God is not concerned about gender, but it's, right, spiritual sons. It's a position, okay? But yes, we're children of God. We understand what we're, you know, but we need to understand these things, you know, and the moment we were saved, you know, we entered the Christian life, and the Spirit of God entered into us to help us to make sense of our lives and to make sense of the crazy world we live in, and to believe God that, you know, one day he's coming back and he's going to make everything right. Okay? So what are the mechanics of practical faith? First off, being made aware of a need that we have. Okay? So the need that we're going to look at right now in the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, what was his need? His need was salvation. Okay? But we could put any need in here, right? But Acts 16:30, we know the story. Paul and Silas are arrested. They're in jail. They're having a hallelujah service in the jail cell, and they're singing and they're praising God. And what must they have been saying? Because when the earthquake came, and every jail cell door was open, not a single prisoner left. So the jailer wakes up and he sees all the doors open. What's his first, you know, thought? They're gone. I'm dead. Right? Because what happens? You know, this is not 2024. You know, this is first century. This is, they got off on your watch. You were sleeping, you know. And so you know, it says in verse 30, and he brought them out. Well, first off, he comes trembling and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Right? Obviously, okay, you know, an earthquake happens and men just don't come and say, "What do I need to be saved?" Obviously, he was listening to Paul and Silas, right? Obviously, there was evangelism going on. Obviously, there was preaching going on as well as the singing. Obviously, right? And you know, here's the start, friends, of the first church in Philippi, you know? And here's a member of that church right off the bat, the jailer. Andy, you were going to say something. He saw a difference, right? Something's, you know, up with these guys. That, you know, I have prisoners who come in here and who scream and foam at the mouth and say they're innocent and da, 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 da. You know, these guys are not like that, you know. So what must I do to be saved? So the mechanics of practical faith, being made aware of a need that we have. What was the jailer's need? Salvation, okay? You know, so putting it in our time now, us sitting here, you know, we're all saved, but we need to be, do we still have needs even after we're saved? Right. So we need to, number one, be aware of a need. Okay. Number two, letter B, deciding to trust God to provide for that need. Okay. All right. Deciding to trust God to provide for that need. That's fizza. Fizzer's out there. Yeah, he's taking off right now. But Acts 27:22, okay? Shipwreck about to happen. Bad storm, right? So Acts 27, verse 22, the Bible says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, that thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. What's the next phrase? For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Okay? So, deciding to trust God to provide for that need. What was the need? Woohoo! Safety, right? The ship is going down. We've already thrown everything out. We've been like this for a fortnight, 2 weeks. You know, it's going on. And it's bad. And Paul comes up. Be of good cheer. I believe God. Now, is this an extreme situation? You know, I've never been in a storm on the sea. I've never been, you know, in this bad of a weather, you know, and for 2 weeks. I mean, could you imagine the fear that's on that boat? And they had a need. And now this is, again, this is extreme, but what did, in an extreme case like this, what did Paul do? He relied on God. He believed God, right? For I believe God. Okay? So, A, be aware of a need that we have. B, decide to trust God to provide for that need. And then C, wait for God to work. Uh-oh. This is where it gets hard, right? Because what's the first word in that little sentence? Wait, okay? Look at Hebrews 6. Waiting is hard. Hebrews 6 and 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and inherit the promise. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have faith and patience, but it means add to your faith patience, right? Because God definitely works, okay? And sometimes God very quickly comes to the rescue. Peter's sinking in the water. Lord, help me. He very quickly came and saved them. But sometimes we have to wait. Abraham waited 25 years for a son. Isaac waited 20 years for a son. Right? And so sometimes we have to wait. So, but we have to be patient. And patience, what does patience, what should patience do to our faith? Build it up. Increase it. What were you saying?
Strengthen.
Okay, right. Same idea. Build up, strengthen, right? But a lot of times we want the shortcut. And what does that not help? Our faith, right? Now, again, sometimes God answers instantly, right? But sometimes he doesn't. And in these waiting periods, in God's waiting room, you know, he's building our faith. He's wanting us to increase our faith. Okay? It's hard. I'm not standing here and telling you, oh, come on, guys, just be patient. It's hard. It's hard to wait. We're impatient people, you know? What happens when you click on a thing on your phone and it doesn't open instantly? My father is amazed because a lot of times Jesse calls us on Sunday, and a lot of times Dad's with us on Sunday. You know, my father was in the Mediterranean in the Marines, and Jesse's over in that area in Saudi Arabia, and Jesse, we can look at Jesse's face and talk to him. My dad had to write a letter to my mother. You know? Yeah, months. Had to write a letter. Yeah, yeah. Yep. And you know, and then there's letters, and then there's telephones, and then there's text and or emails and text. And think about how everything, it's even called Instagram. Everything is instant. And what is that programming us to become? Impatient, less patient. What was that?
McDonald's started that.
Fast food. Microwaves, you know. Why spend all day cooking, you know? Just throw this TV dinner in your microwave and, you know, in 4 minutes you'll have a piping hot, scrumptious meal. I don't know how scrumptious it is, but you know what I'm saying. Instant oatmeal. Here's anathema to Andy. Instant grits, you know. And, you know, you just can't eat instant grits. It doesn't taste the same as long-cooked grits, you know. So everything, you know, we're being programmed to be impatient, but God tells us to be patient because that increases our faith. Okay? Any questions? Thoughts?
Well, I got this lovely Instant Pot book this morning from Joanne and Grammy, is it Grandma or your mom?
Okay, Ruth, yeah.
And this replaces Crock Pot.
Okay.
It cooks in like minutes instead of hours.
Okay, good. Good. So they are things that we, you know, we're programmed to not, you know, to be impatient. But God wants us to be patient. God wants us to be patient. Hey, Fizz. How you doing, bud? Good. We're just, you're not late for the first service. This is Sunday school, so you're not late. So, so anyway, we're programmed to be impatient, but God wants us to be patient, okay? Here we are. We're doing this. We're right there, just if you want to. Okay? So letter D then, trusting in the promises of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Jesus says, For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Okay? So when God makes a promise, what does that mean? He's going to keep it. Okay? But sometimes these promises of God are on a timetable, right? And God's timetable is not always our timetable. Give me a promise that God has promised, but it hasn't been fulfilled yet. He's coming back, right? He's coming back. So in the meantime, what do we do? Previous point, patiently wait, right? Work while we wait, but okay, give me another promise. Peace will be restored. Yep. When the Lord comes back, another thing that's coming is peace, right? Give me a promise that is happening today in our Christian life. Right? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, right? He'll always be with us no matter where we go, right? He's working on us, right? He who has begun a good work will complete it, but there's still a work in the meantime, right? So there's and one of the things we've been seeing on Thursday night, you know, the prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. What is one of the reasons we're studying those? So we can see how when God said this, this happened, right? And there's still a lot of things that God has said that haven't happened yet. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he doesn't change. If God's promises are yes and amen, then these promises, even though we haven't seen them fulfilled yet, we know. What's going to happen when you die? Going to heaven, right? That's a promise. And so we have to trust in the promises of God's word. So the mechanics of faith, I need to be aware of a need. I need to decide to trust God for that need. I need to wait for God to work. And I need to trust in the promises of God's word. Maybe you're praying for somebody to get saved, but they're not saved yet, right? What do you have to do? You have to wait for God to work, because God may have to work in that person's life. He may have to bring something into that person's life that, like the Philippian jailer, right? He needed to see God in action, right? And then I'm just going to trust in the promise. God's not desiring that anybody should perish, but that all. So, you know, God, you know, maybe you have a pressing need right now in your life, right now. And that's a pressing need, and you know what it is, and it's the big elephant in the room. You know, you know the need you have. So you need to decide that God's going to provide that for me. Now, that doesn't mean that you just sit down and do nothing. You need to go about, you know, but decide to trust God to provide for that need, wait for God to work, and then to trust in his promise. And this will increase our faith. Okay? Questions? Thoughts? Right.
And that was lack of faith, or belief that God would take care of what he said. He told her directly what he was going to do.
Exactly. And what happened? Trouble. It caused big trouble, right? And you know, the son she loved, she never saw again. You know, because she died while he was away, you know. And you know, so a lot of times we try to help God. I'm going to help you out on this one. That's a bad move, okay? Trust God. Don't help God. He doesn't need our help. Trust him. There's a big difference, right? I'm going to trust you. Now, he might tell you to do something. You got to do it, but it'll be from him, right? Not from, you know, oh, we got to go deceive your dad, Jacob. We got to go, Isaac. We got to deceive him, you know. But no, trust him, you know, and do what he tells us to do through his word. Okay, good? Okay. Amen. Amen. That'll preach. I'm gonna have to go away for a week, and you can preach that. So. Oh, I'm gonna put that extra F up there, failure. So lots of good things coming from that side of the room today. All right, so the mechanics of practical faith: being made aware of a need that we have, deciding to trust God to provide for that need, waiting for God to work, trusting in the promises of God. Now, what about the aspects of this faith? We express faith in God the following ways, okay? By giving ourselves to God. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 5, the Bible says, "Commit thy heart unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." All right? Give ourselves to God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. You know, Lord, so here's how we express faith. Lord, I'm just giving myself to you. I'm yours. Think about a kid, right? A little kid. Does a little kid have any idea about the economy, about how economics works, about, you know, the fact that dad goes off to work, mom goes off to work, they make money so that we can have a bank account, so that they can take the debit card and we can go to Market Basket and fill up this basket of food, and then we bring the basket home and we, you know, put all this stuff in our cupboards, and anytime I'm hungry, you know, I go to the cupboard or I ask mom. Does a child have any clue about all of that? No, right? But the child trusts. And, you know, we express faith in the following ways. Lord, I don't know how you're going to work all this out, but I'm just giving myself to you, okay? First off, I'm giving myself to you when I trust you for my salvation, right? My soul is in your hand. Every single one of us who knows the Lord as our Savior, who are we trusting? for our salvation? Him, right? He's not going to let you down, but we're trusting him. We're not doing what the rest of the world says you have to do, right? Do this, be good. You know, hopefully your good outweighs your bad, and all you know the whole. We're trusting in what Christ has done. So we've already given ourselves to God. So trust him. And again, believe in God's promises. 2 Peter 1:4. says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, we've already been given great and precious promises, right? And we've already been partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? You know, the Holy, doesn't mean we're God, but the Holy Spirit dwells within us, right? And because he dwells within us, we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. God has given us a way out. God has given us another realm to live in rather than in this lustful world. And I'm not going to, I don't have to explain what the world is like today. You know, the world has lost its mind, right? It's lost its way. And so we express faith in God in the following ways: giving ourselves to God, believing in God's promises, and trusting in God's instruction. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Very, very popular. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, start trusting the Lord with all thine heart, right? Isn't that? Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, right? So trust in God's instruction. Where do we find God's instruction? In the Bible. If we're not in the Bible, how can we increase our faith? Can't, right? See how all of this ties together, you know? Right, because we have things that God wants us to do. Now there are times, sometimes God wants us to leap out into the deep, okay? But it's not a blind leap in the sense that, well, I hope he's going to hold you, you know? I remember when way back in my life when God was calling me out of, you know, our business and into the ministry, you know? There was a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, but I knew God was leading. Where he would lead, I didn't know. I was just faithful. At the time, going to school still, and you know, had the opportunity to. A lot of men knew that I was, you know, desiring to go into the ministry, so I was preaching in a lot of places. You know, I was preaching all over New Jersey and parts of New York and Pennsylvania, you know, because I lived kind of in that tri-state area, and you know, I was regularly, after a bit of time, there were two churches that were without pastor. One was out on Long Island, and the other one was in Pine Island, where I wound up going. But you know, both of those churches desired me to be their pastor. Well, how do I know which one? You know, so faith, right? Trusting God's word. Following his roadmap, making myself available, right? And then just doing it and trusting God's instructions. And then accepting God's self-disclosure, what he's revealed about himself. Look at John 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20. Verse 27, the Bible says, Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it in, and be not faithless, but believing. Right? So accept God's self-disclosures, what he's revealed about himself. What did Thomas miss? Thomas missed the Lord was going to die and rise again. Thomas didn't believe the eyewitnesses, right? Jesus had to finally come and say to Thomas, hey, Thomas, here, look, you know. And he tells him not to be faithless. Look at Job 42. Job is right before Psalms. Job 42 and verse 5, the Bible says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Of course, this will not be our experience, but with the eye of faith we can see, right? You know, and one day we will see. But believe what God, one of the things we're also doing on Sunday night through the Bible Institute is where we're studying the attributes of God, right? We're learning about who God is. And the more we learn about who God is, that should increase our faith, right? Because think of all those attributes we've been looking at, right? And he never changes. So if he's been faithful, he's going to continue to be faithful, okay? And then we'll end with this one, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 14 and first part of 15 says, if I can get there. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Okay? It's a great verse. You know, so the mechanics of practical faith, being made aware of a need that we have, B, deciding to trust God to provide for that need, waiting for God to work, and trusting in the promises of God. The aspects of faith. We express faith in God in the following ways. We give ourselves to God. We believe in God's promises. We trust in God's instruction. We accept God's self-disclosures, and we look to God for the future. So practical faith is our daily link to God. Unsaved people trust in themselves and in their human resources, right? A lot of resources out there for the unsaved people to trust in, okay? Now, you may have a pension, you may have, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have those things, but that's not where our trust should be, okay? But we who are saved are privileged to trust in the creator and sustainer of the universe. Those who rely on him shall never have cause to be ashamed because of his unfaithfulness or inability. Romans 10:11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. On the other hand, everything that we do independently of him is sinful in his sight. Romans 14:23, the Bible says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay? So, we need to exercise faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We started, right, the lesson with today. And then we finished the lesson with anything that's not of faith is sin. Okay? So, faith is, very simply put, believing God, trusting God. Okay? Any questions, thoughts as we wrap this up?
Right. Whatsoever it is not of faith is of sin.
Right.
We should never doubt what God's going to do, but people fall short. And right. We just have to realize and pray.
Amen.
Is God that does not let us down.
That's right. God never lets us down. He never will let us down. God always is working also for our good.